What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Radio Network.
Green at his end.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out. Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown. Aho Kenyon Drake. A miracle.
Murray heaves it downfield. It is caught. DeAndre Hopkins. Miraculous.
Fires. Mike's it. Walker.
And we're out of the gate on today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, Holden Kushner, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204, talking all things NFL. A lot to get into today. Dak Prescott back at practice. Also, Saquon Barkley completed his first padded practice today. Kenny Golladay back in action as well for the New York Giants. Holden, these are two teams that have their sights set on an NFC East title, but it's good to have Dak Prescott back in a Dallas Cowboy uniform, full bore ahead for that Thursday night matchup with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah, forget about the Giants for a minute, or just for this season. Rain Dakota Prescott. Ah, yes, Rain. We don't call him Rain. We don't call him Dakota. We call him Dak. So today, he's full go. That's what Mike McCarthy had to say, the Cowboys head coach. This is just monster news. I think that it's a legitimate shot that Dak leads the National Football League in passing yards this year. You know my thoughts on futures in the NFL just because of the injury rate, but this guy threw for over 1,850 yards in four-plus games last season. Like, he wasn't going to continue to do that over a 16-game season, but now that we got a 17-game, I could see this guy throwing for 5,400 yards this year. I'm not even kidding you. And health has got to do something with it, but when he was healthy in 19, he threw for 4,900 yards. Now we add a game. We saw him take a big leap early last season. The only question with the passing yards is, does that defense stink as bad as it did last year? And I don't think it does.
No, I don't think it does either, especially with the addition of Micah Parsons, the 13th overall pick in this year's draft. I think his ability, especially in run support, to just really dominate and bring an intensity to that defense will be recognized early. And I said it throughout the course of the offseason, this week one matchup against the Tampa Bay Bucks is really a gauge, right? Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl last year. You have an opportunity to make a statement. Dak was hurt in the beginning part of the year, right? So that offense really had to develop around Garrett Gilbert. The rushing attack wasn't there, but with Dak healthy now and those weapons, you have CD Lamb, you have Cooper, you have other playmakers like Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard in terms of the running backs. They have the potential to move the football on Tampa Bay week one, especially if Dak is healthy and catching a touchdown and a half. 7.5 points on the road, there is the potential for Dallas to challenge Tampa Bay and be within this number week number one.
Yeah, the over just stands out to me. The over stands out, and I don't think that the Cowboys defense is going to be the worst in the NFL. If they can get to top 20, if they can get around number 20, that'd be a huge leap for them. I think that the Cowboys can go over, and that game goes over because of the Cowboys. Don't forget that the Bucs defense regular season last year, up and down, nothing special. They obviously got hot at the right time, and I personally believe that's why they won the Super Bowl last year. Their defense was the thing that really carried them. Brady didn't have, you know, a couple great games in the postseason. It was running and it was defense. I don't think that they sustain that play getting out of the gates this year, which is why, again, I'm looking at this over week one. But let's discuss this for a second, because are you there with me on this game? What'd you say? It was 51.5, right? Yeah, it was 51.5.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah,
minus 105 to the over, minus 115 to the under. I see both these teams airing it out.
See, here's the thing that I think that long-term success, right? For Dallas to get over their win total of 9.5, and that's set on FanDuel, it's plus 115 to the over, minus 135 to the under. I think they're going to need that running game to get going, right? You can't really rely on just outscoring teams. So I think Dak is definitely going to get his. But how important is Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard in terms of the physical offensive line? Because if they do have leads in ball games, are they just going to look to chuck it? Or are they going to look to maybe have a more balanced attack where get back to where they were a couple of years ago with that physical offensive line and then dictating tempo with the rushing attack?
Yeah, I think that in a perfect world, that's what McCarthy likes to do. He's an old school coach. I mean, he could say looks at the analytics. He's an old school coach, and that's why we ripped him last year, and that's why I think they left a lot out on the field last year. But I think to beat the Bucs with the way that Tom Brady's going to come out, because it's not like there's a great running game there in Tampa Bay. I think the way Brady comes out, that team against that defense, they're going to put up points. And to me, and we're predicting great game script here, and this is how you, you know, this is how you figure out which side that you're betting. To me, the Cowboys are going to have to keep up with that Tampa Bay passing game.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to see. You have Antonio Brown there, Godwin. You have Evans. You have Fournette and Jones out of the backfield. It will be dynamic. You mentioned Dak Prescott over 5,000. Quickly, Dak Prescott to lead the league in passing at plus 500, yes or no?
Yes.
Wow, I think there's a possibility as well. When we come back, we're just getting started. We'll talk about the Giants and some other week one games. Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner breaking down all the week one action. Talked about Dak Prescott back at practice. Talked about that matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dallas is a 7.5-point underdog week number one on FanDuel. Going to transition to the New York Giants. I mentioned Saquon Barkley did participate in his first padded practice. They expect him back week number one against the Denver Broncos. But how big of an impact is Kenny Golladay to that offense, Holden? When you just look at the preseason right now for New York, they've been inconsistent. They haven't shown the ability to score at will against some of the number one defenses, especially in their three games. What are your thoughts about this team? Because I got to be honest with you, 7 in terms of the win total in most books, FanDuel, DraftKings, I think this team is a dead under in 2021.
Let me just say this. First of all, Sunday I'm doing the show. Maybe it was Saturday. Whenever the Giants were playing the Patriots last week, and he comes out, Daniel Jones comes out. We got the Patriots, I think, -1. Daniel Jones comes out in a 2-minute drill, excuse me, and he leads the Giants to the cover, which killed me. So first of all, I'm upset at Daniel Jones. Second of all, I'm not a fan of Daniel Jones, okay? And I think what you put around him is not going to fix his horrible decision-making skills. With that being said, Barkley can change this whole thing. We don't know how much he's going to play in week one. Do we even know if he's really going to play in week one? I would think so. We had Kenny Golladay and Saquon Barkley out on the field together, so that was awesome, as we saw that yesterday. And then, again, Kenny Golladay, he could be really special, but probably slow to start the season is what they're saying. I think if we're going to target against the Giants, this is the time to do it. Because we really don't, we're probably not going to get full workloads for their two best offensive weapons. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
And while Golladay, real quick, while Golladay doesn't create a lot of separation, he still, or he's not fast and he's not a burner. He still creates a lot of separation. And I think that is going to help Daniel Jones. But ultimately, I'm still down on this team. Unders all around.
Yeah, I agree with you. The problem that I have is with Daniel Jones last week. You mentioned it. I mean, red zone opportunities, he throws the interception. I mean, that's in preseason. I mean, he only threw 11 touchdown passes last year. And now you mentioned the fact that Galladay's not a burner. He's a smooth route runner, creates separation. You have Ingram there that's basically, you don't know what you're going to get. He can get open, but can he catch the football? Rudolph comes back. He's an added dimension in terms of an extra blocker on the line. And Slayton, right? Slayton's probably, I would say, up until this point, because we haven't seen Golladay in that offense, he's their most explosive weapon up until this point, mm-hmm. right? That you would say that Slayton is the one guy that could really take the top off opposing defenses right now, because Tony's been hurt for much of the preseason.
We have not heard a lot about Slayton, have we? Like, no. He's just been, it's just very, very quiet, you know. So we haven't heard much about him. By the way, the first thing I still think about is Steve Slayton. That's the first one. Steve Slayton, the old, what was it, West Virginia running back.
Yeah.
But no, Slayton's the guy that takes it off the top. How many home run hitters do they have, really, when you look at it? And I'm taking Ingram out of it. The guy can't stay on the field. He's already busted up again, so I'm not going to worry about it. I wouldn't call Kenny Golladay explosive. I think he's a really good possession receiver, nice body, a big body, and a guy that just knows how to put himself in a position to grab a contested ball. So their two most explosive players then would be Barkley and Slayton. How does this offense get off to a hot start when both of these players miss tons of time right now? We've got a new quarterback wide receivers, you know, connection with Golladay and Daniel Jones, and another player that's going to start, you know, with a reduced workload. This offense just is predicated on a quarterback that, again, threw another interception in the end zone last week in a preseason game.
I know. It's crazy. And here's the schedule. Now Denver's a 2.5-point favorite on FanDuel, right? They were a 1.5 for much of the preseason. Now they're 2.5 at -111. If you want to take a shot on the Giants, +2.5, -108 on FanDuel. I actually like the over here. 42.5, week number one, -110 to the over. I believe Teddy Bridgewater will be able to move the football on that defense. And then the Daniel Jones factor. He's good for at least two turnovers in that ballgame against Bradley Chubb, against Von Miller, Sertan in that secondary. There's the potential to get points off of turnovers in that week one matchup. But to your point about the Giants, and this is why I like the under, if they don't start fast against the Broncos, you have Washington in week two. If you don't beat Washington, you start out 0-2. You still have to out-duel Matty Ice and the Atlanta Falcons, right? If that offense is inconsistent or Barkley's not 100%, what are you going to get there? Then you follow that up with the Saints on the road, the Cowboys in Dak that we just said is probably on paper the best team in the NFC East, at least from an offensive perspective, the LA Rams, the Carolina Panthers that I think is going to be one of the most improved teams in the NFC, and then the Chiefs. What are they going to be at that point after the Chief game? They might only have one win.
Yeah, as far as looking at preseason schedules, it's not my thing because everything changes after week one, right? It's so tough to predict teams on a year-to-year basis on a schedule heading in. But I get what you're saying. I mean, you lose to the Broncos.
To a degree, right, Holden? Because if we're playing futures, you gotta sort of play it out in your mind. Like, this can be a win, that could be a win. There's really not that many winnable games up until the Chief game.
Oh, that's a really winnable games. Until did you say winnable games?
Guarantee it. It's like they're not playing like Houston that you could just give them that victory, right? And even that's a 50-50 shot in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, the Broncos favorites on the road. I know everybody's high on them. It's still uncomfortable to bet that team on the road. I mean, we saw Teddy Bridgewater look really good in a half of a preseason game, and then all of a sudden, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is the second coming. As far as the Washington game, week two, it's a rivalry game. I really put a lot of stock into that. The Falcons' defense is one of the worst you're ever going to see. It's going to be abysmal this year. And then their offense going on the road outside, not excited about that. I'm just playing devil's advocate here, Joe. Saints, listen, Jameis Winston, we talk about bad decision-making with Daniel Jones. There might not be a guy that makes worse decisions than Jameis Winston. The Cowboys.
26-1 holding to lead the league in interceptions. Yeah. And the only reason why I said that's probably not a good bet because Sean Payton won't allow him to get to that point. He'll pull him for Taysom Hill.
Oh, my God. See, now that's another reason. The Saints could be a complete disaster this year. They're playing with a quarterback that has not proven to be a winning quarterback in the NFL. He was chuck it and hope that Mike Evans and Chris Godwin come down with it, throw four interceptions, throw five touchdowns. You can't do that with the Saints and Peyton. So then we get to the Giants Cowboys rivalry game. Rams Giants, not good. Panthers Giants. Panthers got to prove it to me. I'm not as high on them as you are. I think that I want to see how their defense comes along. They did address it. So, you know, early season, I have a hard time believing they're going to win, you know, more than two of these first seven games, but there is a route to them getting off to a hot start. It would just be shocking. It would absolutely be shocking. And let me ask you about week one here. What if they don't have Kyle Rudolph or Evan Engram at the tight end spot? You know, they're both questionable.
They're not going to be able to run on that defense. That's the problem. They're dead. They're dead in the water. They become predictable, and that's why I sort of like the over as well, because if they do fall from behind, then you have that pass rush of Denver and Von Miller that could just tee off on Daniel Jones.
I think they're in a lot of trouble, yes. If that is the case, they're in a lot of trouble week one.
Yeah, we'll see. When we come back, we'll be talking about Indianapolis and Carson Wentz. Can Carson Wentz lead the victory week number one against Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks as a 2.5-point underdog? Right, coming up next, Joe Lisi and Holden Kutcher.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Continuing the conversation of the week one matchups, we left off with Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts. He'll be back for week number one, but there's no guarantees that this team's going to get to the playoffs. T.Y. Hilton's banged up. Quentin Nelson's still not 100%. What are you going to get out of this offense with Carson Wentz, even though he's there, partnered with Frank Reich? There are a lot of question marks, and now when you look at this team in their week one matchup against Seattle, he's really going to have to produce, Holden. I don't have any confidence in Carson Wentz, week number one, going up, in my opinion, one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. I put Russell Wilson top three. I put Mahomes, I put Rodgers, I put Russell Wilson right there. There's no way he's going to outdo him, even though he's at home as a 2.5-point dog, week number one.
All right, let's talk a little Carson Wentz here. First of all, how many practices did he have with his new team this offseason?
I think five. Is it five?
Two. Yeah, two. So then he had surgery for a broken foot. And then he went on the COVID list when he was supposed to come back. And then he says he's not getting vaccinated. So we got a lot going on here with the Colts. I made a bet with a friend of mine. What was Wentz? 50-1 to win the MVP. Now, this bet was made out of principle. If Carson Wentz is not the MVP, I only get $100. If Carson Wentz is the MVP, I have to pay him $5,000. That is how confident I am, A, that he's not going to be the MVP, and B, I think he's going to struggle there, to be perfectly honest with you. And here's the other thing. Like, The Colts have got to be a bit concerned that he is going to miss games just being in contact with guys because he doesn't want to get vaccinated. Fine, you don't have to. That is your choice, and the Colts are leaving it up to him. But think about the position he's putting his team in, because they're going to start a very young quarterback if he has to miss this game. Sure, it was great. He came back fast. He was expected to return. He was ahead of schedule after the foot surgery. But what happened? Goes right on the COVID list. Right. I think the Colts, as high as I am on their head coach, as high as I am on their general manager, I am super low on Carson Wentz coming into this year. Is it a better situation than it was with Phillip Rivers? I don't even know. I know Wentz has a lot more to offer, but Wentz also has a lot of drawbacks between the injuries, not being vaccinated, practicing just two times. I think he comes out slow out of the gate, and I'm with you on that other side, the Seattle side.
Here's the other thing, too, in terms of Carson Wentz that I haven't heard in terms of his game. We talk about the practices. You're 100% correct. You talk about the fact that this team right now is banged up, right? That's a huge concern entering the week one matchup. But just the season as a whole, this total is bounced around. They were 9.5 in terms of the early part of the season. When Carson Wentz got hurt, it dipped down to 9. Then when Nelson got hurt, it dipped down to 8.5. And then everybody was buying in, saying, well, the offensive line is okay. Now it's settled back in on FanDuel at 9, minus 110 either way for the total. But here's the other concern that I haven't heard a lot of people talk about. I want to get your take. Is that, you know, his security blanket in Philadelphia was and always has been the tight end. When he's in trouble, he always checks down to Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert. He sometimes looks at them first, rather than going deep in terms of stretching defenses over the top with the wide receivers, right? His first read is always to the tight end. He wants to get the football underneath early and often, right? Well, that's not the strength of Indianapolis offense. It's not. They have Pascal, they have Pittman, they have T.Y. Hilton. It's not like Dallas Clark is there.
I don't know about that. I think I'm higher on the tight ends. You made a great point earlier, though, but I disagree with you. I think Jack Doyle is a guy with decent hands. Last year he went seven catches, 70 yards in the touchdown in that loss to Buffalo. He was terrific. And I don't think Mo Alie-Cox – I know. Well, now he's going to have another guy that loves a tight end, right? He loves throwing to his tight ends. Well, Jack Doyle's one of those guys. The other guy that I love, nobody talks about him, Mo Alie-Cox. Mo Alie-Cox is a physical freak. He's in his fourth season now. And if you got to run two tight ends out there, he was a nice target in the red zone, yards after catch. So I'm not with you on the lack of tight ends. Is Doyle, Mo Alie-Cox, Goddard, and Ertz? No. But I think they're very capable of being reliable options in the passing game.
Well, we'll see how this plays out, because you think he's going to struggle early, right? If this team is 500, or let's say under 500, and he's under center much of the way, are they going to live and die with Carson Wentz in Indianapolis? You paid him $41 million for the most part, right? That's the price tag associated with him. Or do you turn to one of the younger guys? We know Ellinger got hurt. I thought Jacob Eason played very well in the preseason. Out of all the second-year quarterbacks and the rookies, we didn't hear a peep about how well Jacob Eason played in both preseason games.
So I get it on Eason, and they were talking about his progress from preseason game one to preseason game three and how he made a ton of it, and how last year the offseason not having one really put his development back a year. So if they're comfortable in that situation, great. Good for you. That means a lot of touches for Jonathan Taylor and the rest of that backfield there. But I don't know if the Colts are going to have to make that decision. The decision's probably going to be made for them with Carson Wentz's health. If he gets injured, then Eason, I think Ellinger's on IR. One of those young guys will come in. But the leash has to be super long on Carson Wentz because of the inexperience under center if he goes down.
They're going to live and die with him, and that's the problem. I don't think they're a playoff team. At nine wins right now, if he starts the whole year, I'm going under. I do not have confidence in him being able to take this team to the next level. I think if we're looking at it equal, I'd rather have Phillip Rivers. That's just the way. I know he's a turnover machine. I know he was 38 years old. I know he was at the end of his career, but he played well, and he was still a veteran that understood his type of playmakers. He knew where he had to go with the football. I'm not so sure Carson Wentz can do that, even though he's partnered with Frank Reich.
So as far as Phillip Rivers goes, he was noodle armed. Like, he was done by the end of that season. And he probably has the itch to get back into things, but like I said, noodle arm, that was the problem. He actually went on a really good tear last season, though. I think people forget this. 24 touchdowns to 11 interceptions. I don't think your starting quarterback can only throw for 24 touchdowns and have a legitimate shot of making a deep run. But there was a time. I'm looking back at his game log. 3 touchdowns against the Packers with a pick. 2-1 against the Titans. And then he went 3 straight weeks without a pick. Texans, Raiders, Texans. I think 2 Texans games is probably why. But 2 touchdowns, no picks. He's just a guy that... he's a guy that can command the huddle, that did make some decision-making issues, but ultimately just can't push the ball downfield. And that's the big difference between him and Wentz. Wentz can at least push the ball downfield. But the other big difference is Phil Rivers don't miss games. And how can we trust? Here's the deal. How do you trust Carson Wentz, A, to stay healthy, and B, even if he is healthy, when was the last time he proved to us, or to anybody, that he was right up there in the upper echelon of quarterbacks? We just haven't seen it in a long time.
Now, he never was. He was given the keys to the bus right out of the get-go. I mean, he really was. I mean, he was a national champ at the FCS level. They gave him the keys to that organization. He took it to an undefeated season, got hurt, but Nick Foles won the Super Bowl. There's no denying that. I mean, the players rallied around Nick Foles. They didn't rally around Carson Wentz, and he had his opportunity. So we'll see what transpires. Yes or no, playoff team in 2021? I'm going no right now.
No, but I'm not going to let you sit and say that he wasn't, you know, a super quarterback. 2017, 33 touchdowns, just 7 interceptions. Threw for 3,300 yards in 13 games. 11 games in 2018, 21-7. 2019, 4,000 yards, 27-7 yet again. So I think this guy was a well above average. 2017 was a sensational season for him. But we have not seen that out of him consistently, except for small pockets back in 2019.
I'm in the minority when it comes to Carson Wentz. I know a lot of people love him. I just think he's just a mediocre quarterback. But we'll see. Hopefully he's rejuvenated with Frank Reich in Indianapolis. We'll see how it plays out. How about this game? L.A., the Chargers on the road to face Washington. 1-point favorite, and everybody's given love to Justin Herbert, rightfully so. Dynamic freshman rookie campaign, 31 touchdowns. But at 12-1 to lead the league in passing this year, do you buy into that in terms of Justin Herbert? I don't. I'm still not sold on Austin Eckler, this offense as a whole. Thoughts about this week one matchup on the road in Washington?
Why are you down on Austin Eckler? This guy is the...
because I know I'm going to get bashed for this, and I really don't care. Because they're mediocre backs. He's about 5'10", 195, 210 pounds. He only can carry the football about 10 to 15 times a game. If you give it to him 25, 30, he's going to break down in the middle of the year. But because he's a good fantasy guy, people love Austin Eckler. If he gets 800, 900 yards, we think he's a world beater.
I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand this. He's an all-purpose back. He's not just a guy that can run through the tech. Well, who is Dalvin? Come on, man. Who's Dalvin Cook?
That's
how we engage him. No, you don't. Because Kirk Cousins and Justin Herbert, I'm already on the Justin Herbert train again. He probably takes a little step back this year from being as efficient as he was last year. Plus, you know, maybe the defense, and then Eckler will stay healthy. That would be two nice things. But how are you ripping a guy that is legit all-purpose back, does everything well above average? That to me, that's wrong. And you should be crushed for that. 4.43 40. The guy's fast, too.
So is Mostert. When we come back, we'll get into the discussion between Eckler, Mostert, and other week one matchups. Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Continuing a heated debate about Austin Eckler and the Los Angeles Chargers. They're 1-point favorites on the road week number one against Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Washington football team. But I said before the break that I thought Austin Eckler was just a mediocre back. I mean, I think you can get any kid out of college, put him into the Chargers offense, you're going to get the same type of production that could catch a football. And before you comment, Holden, let me break down his stats for you over the last 4 years. 2017, 260 rushing yards, 27 receptions. 2018, 554 and 39 receptions. He breaks out in 2019, 557 and 92, and then last year, 530 and 54. That's not Alvin Kamara. That's not Dalvin Cook. That's not even Wayne Gallman. I'll put Wayne Gallman in the same type of production.
Oh, my God. You're talking about a guy, again, he's fast. He runs a 4.440. His hands are ridiculously good. And he's a perfect fit for that offense. You're asking me, or you're talking about Austin Eckler like he's one of the top five. You're saying, oh, you know, he's not this guy. He's not one of the top five backs. I never said he was a top five back. Is he a top 10 back talent-wise? Maybe 10 to 12, and that's not bad. That's exactly what they need for that offense. All-purpose running back. To say that you could just plug somebody in there and they're going to be fine and that they're going to have the production, I just don't buy it. You know, I saw Justin Jackson last year. I'm a Justin Jackson guy, as a matter of fact, at Northwestern. And he was good in limited duty, but if you gave him the rock a lot of actually, he had a really good game against Denver that I remember watching last year. But you can't tell me that this guy is going to have the same amount of success as Austin Eckler if he goes down. I just don't see it, and I'm much higher on Eckler than you
he
are.
He went to Western Colorado. It's not like
who
he
cares?
Went to Ohio State. I mean, we're not talking. All right, so let me go through a couple of guys. J.K. Dobbins, better running back than Austin Eckler all around?
Not on IR.
Hurt, but I mean, prior to the injury.
He's a more talented rusher. All-purpose? Okay. I don't think we've seen that yet.
All right. Okay, up until this point. But the bottom line is that when we were talking about Austin Eckler in terms of production, right, it's not like he wows you like this guy. I need to have Austin Eckler on my team. I mean, when we compare him to some of the other running backs, I think you can put Chris Carson, for that matter. I mean, Chris Carson, everybody bashes Chris Carson about his ability to fumble the football. Guy's a 1,000-yard rusher. I mean, so is he Chris Carson in the sense that he's a game changer? I mean, if you take Austin Eckler out of that offense, does anything change for Justin Herbert and the Chargers?
If you put Chris Carson in there? No, I don't think.
I think Justin Jackson. I mean, Jackson was a good running back in Northwestern. I think you get the same production. That's the point that I'm trying to make, is that as good as he is from a production standpoint in terms of fantasy and other things, if you take Austin Eckler out of that offense, does that offense miss a beat without his presence?
Let me tell you this. I'm just going to give you this stat, and you can do what you want with, okay? Last two seasons, highest Pro Football Focus receiving grade, Austin Eckler. 93.6, better than your boy McCaffrey, better than your boy Alvin Kamara. So what you're doing is you're trying to get me to say, oh, he's better than Derrick Henry or Dalvin Cook. He's not. He's not better than those guys. I'll tell you right now, I think he's a top 10 to 12 back. And that's what this offense needs, and you're going to be fine with that. If he stays healthy this year too, he's going to go from 10 to 12 to probably 6 to 8 just because of the injury attrition rate. Henry, McCaffrey, Cook, Chubb, Kamara, Aaron Jones, don't know what I'm getting out of Barkley. I'll even put Chris Carson right there with him. That's it. That's the list of the guys that I would rather have over Austin Eckler at this point. And the fact that you are Mr. College Football and knock this guy for not going to a big school, absolutely shameful, Lisi. Absolutely shameful. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I'll leave you on this note.
Not really.
I'll leave you this note. You could put Myles Gaskin in that offense. You get the production from my Miami Dolphins with Justin Herbert than you will Austin Eckler. So we'll see how that plays out week one. Do you like the Chargers on the road against the Washington football team? I think it's a tough matchup. You have obviously a contrast in styles, right? You have, LA wants to push tempo against that defense. And when you look at Ryan Fitzpatrick and Antonio Gibson, they want to actually dictate the tempo, work off a play action. How do you see this game playing out? I lean to the Washington defense in this ball game.
I mean, the fact that you ended that discussion with Myles Gaskin makes me sick to my stomach. Give me a break. Chargers football team, right?
Yep.
Here's the angle I'm looking at right now. I do wonder if the Chargers could put up 24 points against this defense. Everybody's healthy. You know, you got Keenan Allen, 100%. Eckler, 100%. Mike Williams isn't even hurt yet. So they're going to have a full complement of players going in there. Would I feel better if this total was at 20.5? Yes. But I do think that the Chargers have enough firepower to put up some points on this Washington football team. Also in this game, 23 points. It's the Washington at 22.5 points. 23 points. That to me is the angle. I would go over on that. I'm not sure about this Washington football team offense, but for them to score 21, I think is fine. That would put me at 45 points. I like the total here over as opposed to any other side in it. 44.5 points. I think both these teams could put up, 45. I just did the math in my head. That's 45. That's over.
Yeah, I was with you. I thought that was one total that stood out to me. The fact that the book put it at basically even money, 44.5, -110 either way, they don't really have an opinion on that game. You would just think, obviously, with the front seven of Chase Young and that dominant defensive front, Montez Sweat there, that they would be able to put pressure and shut down L.A. But if they jump out early, that could take Fitzpatrick and that offense out of their game plan, right? And then you could have a shootout at the OK Corral in that ballgame. So I lean with you in terms of the over in that matchup. Here's another game that stood out to me. And just from a line perspective, you have San Francisco on the road in Detroit, right? Obviously a new head coach in Dan Campbell. We don't know about the quarterback situation solidified yet, even though we believe it will be Jimmy Garoppolo. 7.5 against the Lions. I mean, to me, I thought it would be 9. Maybe even 10 for a week one matchup, even though Jared Goff is there. I mean, what are you going to get in terms of the rushing attack, the offensive line? Can Detroit score on that defense? The more I think about it, I mean, this line should be much higher. Why is it only settled at 7.5? I'm leaning to Dan Campbell and the Lions at home in that week one battle.
Ooh, that is interesting, Mr. Joe Lisi. Because I look at this game and I say to myself, Niners got to go east. Not all the way to the East Coast. They got to go to Detroit. Fine. Whatever. Now you're asking me to take a team at more than a touchdown on the road against an organization which has been a debacle for decades now. But also with the Lions, new head coach, new offense. The playmakers, to me, not there. They need DeAndre Swift to be able to have any shot against the Niners. So I'm trying to play both sides here. 7.5, to me, that hook is just a little too much. I'm not one to buy points either, the half a point. So you just think this is going to be a blowout. Because if you think 7.5, you're probably going, like a 30-20 score. And Bosa's back. This Niners defense is terrific. I'm just not sure what to expect out of the Lions. And to back a team on the road at more than a touchdown in week one makes me uncomfortable. That's a pass.
Yeah, so I we'll see how this plays out. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the Niners win basically a 3-point game if it's tight early and somehow, some way, Dan Campbell and the Lions cover this matchup. Go a little bit deeper, though. You mentioned DeAndre Swift. You take him in the second round. I mean, when are they going to actually make this guy the featured back? You bring in Jamal Williams. I mean, they don't feed this kid enough. And I think in order for this team to get over their win total, in order for this team to have any shot to win some ball games, they need him to be productive. But why they continue to utilize a dual running back type of situation, then why reach up and get this guy in the second round?
It's a great question. It's a great question. I'll just say this. I'm looking at their depth chart right now. Defensively, there's going to be some problems here. Big time problems. Brockers has to play week one, by the way. Who are the weapons here? If we're not seeing DeAndre Swift, because Jamal Williams to me is a guy that can get it done at spot duty. So I still think they're going to have a hard time running the football week one. How about the weapons around Jared Goff? Tyrell the Gazelle, who didn't really work out very well. Quintez Cephas. I mean, I love the guy because he won me some money, but let's face it. Amon-Ra St. Brown, sure, he's getting a lot of talk with Hockenson, too.
4.540.
I know. Listen, and Payne Sewell is struggling. So, yeah, we're talking about that. Payne Sewell is struggling. The more we talk this out, the worse the Lions seem to be. But again, more than a touchdown on a road week one, I'll pass. I'd rather bet this game live.
Well, when you look at the other flip side, right? Okay, so we look at Swift, and then you have on the flip side for Green Bay, you take A.J. Dillon, right? Second, third round. What's his presence in that offense? I mean, you can make the argument that both players are similar in their respective offenses with Aaron Jones there, and now you have Jamal Williams in Detroit, right? Can either one of those backs be a 1,000-yard rusher? Because if you're asking me, I have more confidence in Dillon this year than I do Swift because of the organization. I think Dillon could surprise. I think he could take carries away from Aaron Jones and be in the area of 900 to 1,000 yards this year.
Yes, I'm right there with you. That's exactly what I think it is. Jamal Williams, let's just talk about this dude for a second, because he was always playing second fiddle. And maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe because he wasn't getting a bigger workload, you know, he was more efficient. And that's something that common sense would tell you. But in the games where he got more than 15 carries, he averaged 4.1 yards, 4.7 yards, 4.3 yards. I mean, the guy in double-digit carries did show that he could do the work. I think Jamal Williams is going to get some work this year, my friend. DeAndre Swift, obviously. Yeah. I mean, why not? He caught 31 of his 35 targets last year. Think about how efficient that is. Like, this guy, this guy is a very good pass catcher, and I think that's a great point that you bring up, too. It wouldn't shock me if we looked at these two running backs and at the end of the year, Jamal Williams had more total yards. Yeah, and I say that not because Swift is the more talented runner. He has to stay on the field. B, he hasn't proven anything yet. And C, I think people sleep on Williams.
Yeah, and the fact that AP is not in that offense this year, that'll be a benefit for them. I mean, they had three running backs at one point. They had Swift, Peterson, and they had Kerryon Johnson. I mean, how many more running backs do you need in Detroit to carry the rock? I mean, I understand fresh legs, but at what point do you say, okay, we have two guys that can carry the load. Let's get a wide receiver to help out the quarterback. I mean, that's why Stafford is over in the Rams right now, is just because there was not a deep threat, and Hockenson basically is the best offensive player they have right now.
We talked about a lot of bad teams. Can we talk about some good teams next week?
Yes.
The Lions
stink. Coming up next. Look, you gotta talk about the bad teams. Nobody else talks about the bad teams. When we come back, we'll talk about other week one lines. Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Wrapping up today's show, we've been talking about a lot of the bad teams in the NFL. Might as well go status quo here and give you two week one lines that have moved a little bit. Carolina opened up as a 4-point favorite against the Jets. It's up now to 5 on FanDuel, -110 either way. The Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that I believe goes through their 6.5 win total. I think Holden disagrees, opened at 3. It's now down to 2.5 on FanDuel, -114. If you want to jump on the Texans, -105 plus the 2.5. I think Jags and Panthers roll in both of those matchups, week one.
Roll? The Jacksonville Jaguars roll?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Offensively, they roll. Offensively, team total over 23.5.
No, mm-hmm. I don't know about that. Ooh, nah. I do. See, yeah, 23.
If they're winning this game, if they're winning this game, they're going to have to score 3 touchdowns at least. I'm
That's
serious.
21. Both,
yeah, and then a field goal. I mean, both teams are going to have to score 21 to get there. And then an extra field goal against the worst defense that you probably ever are going to see with an improved quarterback, which with Lawrence, and then the weapons that he has there. Chenault, Chark looks healthy too, Marvin Jones. I actually like this offense in week one more than any of the sides. So over 23.5 for me. And then if you wanted to look at the game over, boy, I just don't know if I got enough faith in this Texans offense. But the Jaguars, -2.5 on the road, out of principle, cannot back a horrible team on the road, favored. But I do like the Jags to put some points up.
Yeah, see, I like Carolina. Out of both teams, I like Carolina the most because you have Matt Rhule, year number 2. I think that defense is much mm-hmm. improved. You have Sam Darnold that understands the personnel. We've seen Zach Wilson now. That gives us an opportunity to game plan. I think Carolina rolls, especially with the addition of J.C. Horn. We'll be continuing to talk about these week one matchups next week and throughout the week. We'll see you. Have a great weekend, everyone. For Holden Kushner, I'm Joe Lisi. See you next week.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.